The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Have you ever wondered why your egg prices have gotten so high over the past several months? Well, we have an encore presentation of We the People today that originally aired on January 4th of this year. And you folks in Philadelphia and South Jersey, I believe this is the first time you will have heard this. So enjoy the next 2 hours. Again, the best of We the People coming your way with special guest Diane Amble and your hosts Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff on the rising cost of eggs and what's behind it.
Hello! That's as opposed to good morning. I thought about it all week, actually.
Good morning, one and all.
Did you get yourself situated over there?
My microphone is malfunctioning.
Yeah, I was pointing somewhere else.
Morning, Aaron. Morning, Bill.
We had stuff. We had stuff we had to do. All right. You are joining the nutty people from We the People Radio. And can you not hear us, Willis?
Oh, wow. That's nice and loud.
Oh, boy. Radio for deaf people.
Well, I'm giving myself feedback.
Outstanding. Hey, so today... You know, for all those people that were like, you know, that whole Christmas thing lasted a long time. We'll be talking politics today. Today, lots of politics, lots of Agenda 21. We're going to talk about California politics and how that relates to national politics.
And
there's more.
We're going to answer the question, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, because we have a situation here with the eggs.
Yes, we
and,
do.
And for those people that have not been reading, I listed a bunch of sources. Okay, I said I did it. I actually just put them on the website. But our guest, Diane Amble, she's the one who sent them all to me. The website is loaded with information. So if you are listening to the show and you're like, darn it, I'm going to miss it, yeah, you're not really. Just go to wethepeopleradio.us. All that stuff together, no dots, no dashes, just wethepeopleradio.us. And it should come up with Robert Exter's amazing drawing of our founding fathers with the words We the People across it. And if you click on This Week, either on the top or on the icons just below, you will go to the show page for today, and there is a ton of information. I'll move all that to the archive immediately after the show at like, meh. I usually have it done by about 2:30, yeah, and I'll also put the, the podcast of the program. So if you have people who need to hear it, you can forward the page right afterward.
Because we archive everything.
Exactly. There's tons of archives, four years worth, actually. So we spoke with Diane before, and I linked those also. Hey, Bob, your microphone's on over there. We're listening to them trying to hook up the Skype thing, and I was kind of listening, which was distracting.
It's nice and everything.
I was kind of two-tracking it there. Not good. We'll have the archives of her past shows. We did a lot on Humane Society. So I know you're like, what the heck? This show going to be about everything? I don't think we'll probably work in, let's see, what won't come in today? Probably not wolves. We probably won't talk about those. I don't know. Who knows? It might. I hate wolves. everything. It's like those wolves, you know. And
they started the whole thing.
Yeah, stupid wolves. Anyway, that's kind of our roadmap for today, Mr. Pen Clicker. So what do you have for us?
Happy New Year.
You should see the look on his face.
Yeah. Oh.
Normally, you have to slap somebody to get that look on their face.
No.
That was like the look.
Yeah, don't put me on the spot like that.
Yeah,
so
no.
So you might hear me.
Okay. So, California's bad egg bill is a... And it's great. There's a wonderful graphic there. California's bad egg bill set to crack the U.S. economy. And I think most people probably don't remember, but there was a thing called Prop 2 that went through in, 2008. Hey, Bob, can we put Diane on the sound? Can we Can we phone her in while we're Skyping her?
All you bacon and eggs people are going to
have to
start
on the line that she's on at the moment. I can't put the business line on the air.
Oh, I called her on the wrong line.
So
I got preempted.
Yeah, you're out. I'm fired. I'm fired as the engineer. I used the phone on Bob's side of the table. Thought it was helping.
Hang on just a second. I'll get her back on the other
line. Call her back on the right line.
I'll go back to my bacon and eggs
statement. Okay, go on.
Yeah. heavy on the bacon. Because the eggs are going to be out of reach.
Well, and stuff that contains eggs.
Yep.
The other thing about this that's pretty brutal is that it affects other states as well. It isn't just California, and that's why I said at the beginning, this is kind of a show for everybody, no matter where you are, because this is one of those things that'll mushroom across other states, not to mix my food groups. But it is an omelet ingredient.
I guess
I can use omelet ingredients.
We not only have happy cows, we have happy chickens.
Yeah, because they have lots of room to stretch.
Lots of room to stretch your little wings.
Blah, blah, blah.
They can actually do laps around their little quarters now.
But fun fact, California eats the most eggs. We only produce a third of them out there in the big world, but we eat the most. So we import a lot of eggs
into
California.
We are egg suckers.
That's what I should have called the show, California Egg Suckers. Everybody else is like, yeah. So the tricky part of this is that since we have to import them, now some judge just here within the last month just ruled that if you are bringing eggs into California, you have to meet these larger cage requirements and all this stuff that California has imposed.
Right. Before you can import them, you have to go meet the chickens and see if they're happy.
Exactly. They all have to have names. They need to have P.O. boxes.
We have a little interrogation list we go through and make sure that
they have to have their...
They were happy when they laid their egg.
They have to have their chicken pillows fluffed.
That's right.
Can we get Diane back on? Because I'm running out of...
Okay, she's back.
Got all the way down to fluffing their chicken pillows. I was like, all right, I'm out of details. Well, I mean, I could read you what she sent me, but that's not very fun. All right, Miss Diane. So we gave them a little bit of rundown that it's going to hurt California and everybody else. Oh, and by the way, the Humane Society is at the core of this. Da, 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 da. And that's why you're here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Prop 2, what year?
2008.
And you've told, the reason I even noticed this when I read about it on Twitter or something a week or two ago was because I remember you telling us about this back in 2012 when we had you on talking about the Humane Society.
This is the real bread and butter for the Humane Society and all their ilk. It's not about puppies and kittens. It's about controlling our food production. This is the big enchilada.
And this is this the beginning of their major control over food production? I mean, is this their first huge win?
Right, in California. They tried to do it also in Missouri. Missouri saw it coming down the pipe, and they did, I believe, a constitutional amendment, an initiative, and the people said no such thing will be allowed in Missouri.
Oh, interesting. And
they saw it coming down the pipe. California is always the testing grounds, and they have a lot of... support from animal rights organizations here. They have a very big network, and they're able to do things that they can't do in other states.
But other states will be bound by this, right?
No. Well, yes, if they want to sell the eggs in California. However, there is a rather large lawsuit in the courts, in the federal courts right now, saying that this is basically they're trying to monopolize. They're violating the Commerce Clause. You can't tell other states how to produce and sell and distribute. Although the first federal district judge struck it down, they're appealing it, and that was what they should have done from the very beginning. And finally, they woke up and decided to fight it in court. I'd urge them to do that from day one.
Wasn't the Humane Society just found guilty of some misdeeds?
Yeah, they had to pay it.
Racketeering.
That's no biggie.
Again, Feld Entertainment, Ringling Brothers, basically, them along with Fun for Animals and a couple of their affiliates. They're all affiliates. They're all the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, they were paying for a witness to say things that weren't true. And through many, many years and wonderful investigation, Feld Entertainment was able to prove that. The judge was outraged, and they're all paying millions of dollars in to Feld Entertainment. It costs millions of dollars for that lawsuit, but it was racketeering. That's what they got them for, RICO.
Nice.
And this
nice.
Is what this is, too. This is RICO. This is racketeering. They're conspiring to control food production.
So,
and it's a protection racket. They want to inspect all the farms to make sure that they're, raising the hens. These are shelled egg hens, not any other kind of hens, only the ones that produce your table eggs. That they can inspect and say whether you're doing it right, and you have to pay a fee for it. So it's a protection racket or pay-to-play racket. This is a long-time-old mafia tactic. But now the scheme and artifice, racketeering is where you build a scheme and artifice. In other words, you scheme it, then you build the artifice. In this case, they use legislation. The California voter was bamboozled into thinking this is for animals, but the amazing thing, what they don't understand, is that the hens will have to be, there's a reduction, because you have to give them twice as much space, basically almost twice as much space. Or they want no cages whatsoever. That means those hens will have to be, so millions of hens will be killed for this implementation. Millions.
Of course. And
that's because they just don't have the space, is that right?
Right, well, they can't afford the space. I mean, this is California. Think about it. How much it costs per square foot here. And you can't sell them off to another area. Like, these are good laying hens. Why don't you take them? You can't, because each region in California across the United States is a bioregion, and you cannot move them across that line. So let's say another producer in Southern California or Arizona would like them. Nope, they can't have them. They're going to have to be destroyed.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
And that, they say about 2 million across the United States will be destroyed, so that the farms across the United States that want to comply and sell their eggs to California will have to comply, and therefore they'll have to kill those chickens or move them somewhere else, and it's not that easy to just move them. They have to build facilities and move them, and they'd have to be close by because of the bioregion, the biohazard controls. And the industry has to do that. You can't let contamination from one area to the other go. That's just very sensitive. They have been controlling chickens in the way they produce them for a long time, so that they don't get contaminated with disease or anything like that.
Right.
So it's very high security for chickens.
So once again, it's the Humane Society is not about protecting the animals.
Or the people.
Or the people. It's about the money.
People are last on the list, for sure. It's about
the
money.
It's about the money.
They'll have to go inspect those in farms in other, let's say, Iowa or Arizona or wherever, in order for them to be able to say that they are up to snuff, and then they can import or export eggs into California.
Oh, brother.
So I'm sure those farmers will be thrilled to have to allow the Humane Society under their property to inspect their facilities.
Okay.
Right.
So we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll kind of, since we got off kind of an odd beginning, we'll go back to the beginning. We need to talk about Prop 8, or Prop 2. Prop 8. Where did that come from? It's a subliminal throwback to another show. all right, forget it. We're just taking a break now.
Yeah, I'm not touching that.
We'll go back to Prop 2, where it came from, why they did it, how they got away with it, what the unsuspecting public was thinking when they voted for it, why it sounded good, and where that's going to go from here. Stick with us. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KZNR, 1460 AM. We will be right back.
No one's jumping the train.
And if you're a chicken, you get more cage space.
Yeah. Oh, you can flap your wings. Now, you could almost fly in that cage. Oh, that's right. Chickens don't fly, do they?
Knucklehead. No breakfast for you.
I said, no breakfast for you, boy.
That's true. We should have some good Foghorn Leghorn on morning. Hey, yeah, Bob, that's your goal now. You have an hour and a half to find us a Foghorn Leghorn song. I'll see you soon. Okay, so do we have Diane? Did we lose Diane?
Oh, no, she's
I'm
been here.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Sorry, you're just silent through the buffoonery.
I'm quiet.
Dear God. Let's see. So,
we're going to start at the beginning.
WeThePeopleRadio.us. If you click on this week, for starters, you'll be able to get to the chat room, which is a great place to ask questions, make comments, goof off, you know, all of the above. And then there's a ton of information on that page. Also, the links to the two shows we did back in 2012, April of 2012, on the Humane Society, because that all has a bearing, and we won't be able to cram all of that in, but we'll do our level best.
Yeah, and I think people really need to look into that Humane Society show. I mean, they are so corrupt. It's just unbelievable what they get away with.
That's what made me love doing this show. It was like, look at all the great
people
stuff
know
we get
about
to learn.
Yeah, you know, all they know about are the puppy commercials and the sad dogs and cats, and it has nothing to do with them.
So before we bash the Humane Society to death, which we intend to do today, help us, okay, peel apart for us, Diane, the difference between the Humane Society downtown, where you would go adopt a dog, or who would get your dog and hold it till you come fetch it. You know, they do stuff we need.
They do a good job.
So what's
the
difference?
Completely distinct entity. Yeah. The Humane Society of the United States, which that's not even their name. It's a National Humane Society, and they bought the use of Humane Society of the United States.
Really?
But they are a national, basically, fundraising organization in Washington, D.C. 1% of their money are spent on any programs to help animals at all. Sometimes it's for vaccination for animals, with veterinary students, what have you, but very, very small amount. Most of their money is spent on fundraising, and almost many of the people on that board have what they call the enrichment companies, where the money is deposited. They own those companies where the money is deposited, or they have a stake in the fundraising corporations that they pay the bulk of the money. So it comes back to them in the services that are provided for the fundraising. That's how it operates. It's a big scam. It's a sham. And they get away with it. The IRS should be investigating them. There's many requests for that. It is under investigation, but it's slow going. They have people in high places utilizing them to keep, you know, keeping on. And who knows what else they do with all this cash that comes in or doesn't come in, or they say it comes in. Who knows what?
Okay, so if it's
so they're local ones that they're a nonprofit, and they, you know, take in your animals or what have you, or provide services like sterilization. They have nothing to do with it. They have no affiliations. In fact, they say they would never run a shelter, and there's a reason for that. In the very, very beginning when they operated, they did have some animal farms, and it was a big, you know, controversy over how they were taking care of those animals, and they decided they're not doing that anymore, and I think they sort of locked that into fund for animals. But they have many organizations. They took over Doorstay Animal League, Fund for Animals. They are the top company or nonprofit, and then they have all these other nonprofits that they've taken over and control. So when you give money, for instance, to Doorstay Animal League, you're giving money to HSUS, basically.
Oh, lovely.
They control almost all of them.
And
almost all of them.
That was a big
thing. Their board
thing.
Members sit on ASPCA, a big one, the second biggest one in the United States. It's out of New York. Their board members, so I think it was a takeover. They sued each other over this, what are the best standards to raise animals. They sued each other, ASPCA and HSUS, and then all of a sudden there was a settlement, and HSUS board members are sitting on the board of ASPCA. So what do you call that? I'd call that a hostile takeover.
We
but
call
hey,
that convenient.
I wasn't there.
Okay, so... Allegedly. So lots of politics connected with this. And so let's go back to the Prop 2 thing in California that kind of, you know, got the egg rolling here.
Well, they tried to tell the population, the voter here, that, you know, the hens are being mistreated, the hogs are being mistreated, and what else am I leaving out? The veal. Well, we really don't have any veal operation here, and the hog operation, I think there's three farms, and they're very small. We do have a considerable hen operation, although we only produce one-third, from what I understand, approximately one-third of the shelled eggs that California uses. We are the biggest consumer of shelled eggs in the nation. We love our eggs in California. So this is big business.
Well, isn't Foster Farms still operates in California, don't they?
Foster Farms, I believe, is really about chicken production.
Okay.
Meat production. I might be wrong. They might have some egg production, but nothing like most of our eggs actually come from Iowa. Although a third of it comes from here for production here, and many of those are cage free or range free as well. Here we have a lot of that in place, but not enough to supply us. Let's just put it that way. Not even a drop in the bucket to supply what California needs in eggs.
And then
right now what they're saying is we're going to have an egg shortage. Watch and see.
Yeah, well, and let's clarify, too. You had said shelled eggs, and it's important, I mean, for people who haven't had a chance to.
Oh.
It'd take them 3 days to read everything I put on the website, so clarify
shelled
why shelled.
Eggs is your table egg. That's your table egg. When you go and buy a dozen eggs or a dozen and a half or one of the big packages, let's say at Walmart or somewhere like that, that's what you call shelled eggs. This law now in place due to Prop 2, it was an initiative, does not pertain to liquid eggs, powdered eggs, specialty, anything. There's a huge list of products that eggs can come to you. Or, for instance, you could buy powdered eggs, but mostly who buys those kind of eggs are our food producers. For instance, bakeries might buy a 50-pound gallon, is white, tubs of liquid eggs. It does not pertain to the hens that produce that. It does not pertain to the hens that produce powdered eggs. It does not pertain to the hens that produce egg whites, for instance, et cetera. There's probably 50 types of egg products. It only applies to the shelled eggs. And when I was in the legislature lobbying against this, you know, grassroots lobbying, thing get paid, I asked them in open session there, in their committees, I said, how come, if this is about the welfare of hens, then how come the hens that produce the bulk of everything don't get protection, but only the shelled eggs? Now, that's the high value, though. You get your highest value from a shelled egg than the other stuff. No one could answer that, and they didn't care to listen, which is interesting. But you have to think about this. If we have a shortage, who will fill that shortage? Well, Mexico can fill it, and so can China. China is the largest producer of eggs in the world. And they can't send the shelled eggs over, but you can bet they can send over frozen, dried eggs, and even the liquid eggs.
Right. Does Mexico supply the shelled eggs?
I think not so much. But they could do the liquid eggs and the dried eggs and what have you. Probably
That's what restaurants use and baking companies and places like that.
Right. When your bakery, they usually don't. Now, very high-end restaurants and bakeries will use real eggs. But the really big production, food production here, for instance, in California, they get it by the pounds in those buckets and what have you. That's what they're really using. Because you spend so much time breaking the eggs, separating the shells. There are egg breakers in this state. In other words, companies that break the eggs and put them in those, you know, make sure there's no shells in it, and then they supply that to schools, prisons, hospitals, etc. They're not breaking eggs at schools and hospitals.
That's pretty funny. Somebody's job is to be an egg breaker?
Yeah, well, it's companies. They're called egg breakers. Yeah.
No kidding.
They got to have machines.
So it doesn't apply to any production of that. Not at all. Those birds do not warrant any protection. So you've got to ask yourself, what is this really about?
Right. Yeah, if it doesn't protect all the chickens, then it probably isn't about the chickens.
Then what are we doing? Well, and we have one of the big culprits. I mean, we always pride ourselves on naming names, especially when you come on with us. But Jared Huffman was a major player in this as a state legislator. And now...
he's a congressman.
Now he's your congressman, so lovely.
Yeah, the North Coast decided we want him in Congress. Well, that was the... We're just crazy, I guess, on the North Coast.
Yeah, when we come back from this break, let's talk a little bit about how he's connected here, and like through the Humane Society and all that kind of jazz. And Bob, are we ready to do that? We are, because I'm looking at the time and I'm thinking, I'm going to have all our breaks at the end of the show. Not really. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Why? What have you here for us?
How do you like your eggs in the morning?
I like mine with a kiss.
World of pride.
I'm satisfied as long as I get my kiss.
How do you like
Is that involved?
Toast in the morning?
I like mine with a hug.
It's the legislature.
The world's all right
awesome.
As long as I get my hug.
Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken and watch them feathers fly. Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken. Break out the butter and the flour ready to fry.
My dog Pete's the smallest dog of all the dogs in my yard.
That's right.
He's a mean some bitch, drinks beaming water from a broken mason jar.
And we sick him on a chicken. Sick him on a chicken. Sick him on a chicken and watch them feathers fly. Sick him on a chicken. Sick him on a chicken. Bring out the butter and the flour ready to fry.
All of our animal rights
that's for the Humane Society.
People's heads just exploded. Yet another home run. Oh, you're listening to We the People Radio, which I'm sure you've already figured out, because who else plays this kind of nutty music? Except for Bob.
How can you not love the Zac Brown
Band? Love it? So we're talking about the California egg production and how that's going to blow up in everybody's face starting now. The law went into effect January 1, started with Prop 2 back in 2008, and it was... What did they tell the voters? I mean, I didn't go look up the proposition language, Diane, but what did they tell people this was going to do that got 64% of the electorate to vote for this?
Well, they used commercials saying that they needed to be able to turn around, spread their wings, and that sort of thing, and that to change the amount of space that each hen would have. So they've increased it by, I think it's like 70% that the hens will have, but now they're saying, for instance, because the initiative was written in a muddy way, it wasn't very clear what they were after, and when you are the initiative winner, you get to sort of say what you really meant. So now they're saying they want now even double what it is, that the farmers have now adjusted, many of them have adjusted, and there were sort of lawsuits about that. Look, I've done enrichment cages, I've enlarged the cage, is this good? They're like, no, not good enough. And so what they're saying is that HSUS is saying to their constituents, so who they say are millions of members, but they've never been able to prove that. I mean, I get a card all the time that I'm a member. I've never requested it, and I keep sending cards to me.
It's like AARP.
Anyway, yeah, but worse. So anyway, they say now that they're pushing for cage-free, which means that they would be raised in large barns with no cage, and then they want to go to free range where the chickens would either be outside or inside and outside. And so that would be free range. And then, but really, if you listen to what they're saying to in their own meeting, they say that cage free isn't the way they really want to go. It's a step in the right direction. The step in the right direction is quote unquote from the head of their humane operation, which is Mayim Park. She says, we don't want any of these animals to be raised and killed. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of waiting until we have the opportunity to get rid of the entire industry. And when she says the entire industry, she means all farming that produces animals for humane consumption. So they want you all to be vegans, but we are omnivores. We are not truly vegetarians, and that's not going to work. You can't raise a child up in a healthy way on that. And most people that actually even go vegan, after about 10 years, they have to stop because of health concerns. And that's the reality. It's almost like a religion going vegan. It just doesn't work in the long run. But their intent, besides that, that's just those philosophical, the useful idiots that they have. What they're really out for is the control of food production. And people need to understand that. The price of eggs went up 50% even in 2007. And I asked the head of UEP, that's United Egg Producers, it's a nationwide operation, and they certified egg production voluntarily at that time, et cetera. And I said, why have the eggs already gone up in California? He said, because the farmers are not reinvesting in California. They're either going to retire or take off to friendlier states because they can't operate. In other words, let's say you have a business. Let's just say you have an automotive business, and all of a sudden they make a law that you have to double the size of your business. Where are you going to get the money to do that?
Sure.
And chicken operations are much more expensive, I assure you, than an automotive shop.
Well, the other thing, too, is that actually giving chickens more space is not always safe for the chickens. There's a great video. You gave us a great video that we put on the website, California's Rotten Egg Bill. It's a red window there with a video, and it says, why does the Humane Society of the United States want to crush the incredible edible egg? And that video has a great amount of information in there about how unsafe it is for the actual chickens.
Well, it's not such a bad thing for them to have in what they call enclosed cages, where they have a perch. But to force farmers to do this, it's un-American. Let's call it for what it's communism. It's communism. If you can't do this how are we doing this in America, saying the farmers raise their chickens? In California, I promise you, the farmers here in California are the best at raising, I don't care what it is, whether it's walnuts, chickens, hogs, cows, or whatever. We do it best than probably anywhere in the world. So it's not about giving them anything beneficial. It is that collection of money to inspect, control egg production, the shakedown of the egg industry, and then going on from there. They'll be doing it to the other industries. And that's why it was fought at a national level. They tried to do this nationwide, and UEP was basically being extorted to go along with it. And the other animal production industries like cattle and hogs, they said, no, we can't have this. It's just going to roll from eggs, then it'll go to chicken production, the meat chicken and cattle. We can't have the Humane Society of the United States telling us to, you know, raise our animals. It's communism is what it is, really. If you look on the board of the Humane Society of the United States, Maurice Strong sits on that board. Who is Maurice Strong? Does anybody here know?
The guy who wrote Agenda 21.
That's correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
He submitted it to the United Nations in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. This is the intent of Agenda 21, is to control the people. And you control them first through food and water. When people are hungry, they'll do anything. They'll move into the cities. They'll do whatever they have to do to eat. We're going to have an egg shortage. Eggs are already now, as of the first, jumped about 40% in price. Just go look at what you paid for them last week and then go into the store and try and buy them here locally in Northern California. And I'm sure it's worse in other areas. This is not helping people. When this law was being put, you know, discussed, this initiative, I went to see at that time Senator Leland Yee in San Francisco. And he was a very powerful senator, and I had a meeting with him in his, you know, it's practically a penthouse in his office in San Francisco, very luxurious. He's wearing a $5,000 silk suit. Everybody else in his office is wearing a silk suit. It doesn't, from Hong Kong, I'm sure. That's not normal. But I went in there and I asked them, I said, look, you've got to help stop this. You have to help educate the people because you're poor, your elderly are going to be hurt by this. Because right now, if you, many elderly citizens or the poor, they are maybe cracking one egg a night into their some families, their kids are eating beans and rice and they fry an egg and put it on top. That's the only protein they're getting. If eggs double, if triple or quadruple even in price, which I wouldn't doubt from the time this started, they've already basically doubled now. They, from that time, I said, how are they going to afford, were they going to eat a half an egg, then a quarter of an egg? And he laughed at me and he says, that won't happen, Diane. Don't worry. Well, we know, I guess he was busy with other things like selling or trying to sell arms to terrorist organizations to
terrorists. You got to have your priorities.
right. So the eggs don't matter. Eggs are what the whole economy runs on. The food industry, everything. And during World War II, eggs and chickens were even currency. That was the only thing that was worth anything anymore, really, during World War II. So we're talking about a very basic thing. When you raise the cost of eggs, you're raising the cost of everything from pancakes to bread. The eggs are things you don't even know they're in there because they make a certain consistency in produced food. And a lot of people, you know, buy manufactured food. Our family, we cook everything ourselves mostly from scratch, even pasta. And when this happened in 2007, when I saw the road it was going, I went my first dozen of chicks, hens, and I raised them, and we've been eating our own eggs ever since.
So if
the writing was on the wall.
So what about people who raise who have their own chickens and raise eggs and have that approved and sell those to say a local market or something as local organic eggs?
This does not really apply to them. It could if someone really wanted to force the issue, if they're raising shelled eggs and selling it to the local farmers market. It could apply to them. But you see, HSUS is really about going after the money. There would be no money in that. Along with this law comes very severe penalties. If they allege that you don't have your chickens the right thing or any kind of inhumane treatment, to those chickens, I believe it's $1,000 per hen per day and jail time for the growers. So why would anybody want to even participate in California?
Oh, wow.
Why? I mean, if I were an egg, shelled egg producer, I would be moving to, let's say, Arizona. That I wouldn't risk losing all my property, my lifetime work, and many of these farmers are third generation. They don't just wake up one day, I'm going to raise eggs. These are usually handed down. And they're facing losing everything their families have worked for generations, as well as all the property, which is very high value. And that's what HSUS likes to do. They like to raid and take your asset at forfeiture based on the raid. That's what they do. And they utilize all kinds of they'll utilize other humane societies to have you locally to do those. They're not good guys, and this is a real danger for our food safety, for us to have food. This is a reality, and we need a reality check. So then what the legislature did, Jared Huffman, he was an assembly member at the time for Marin County, Mill Valley, and what have you, that area. They put on the table that all the eggs, therefore all the eggs that come in, that are imported into California, will have to also abide by this. And I testified that this is a racket, this is a protection racket. You all are building a scheme for racketeering the human rights of the United States. How can you even be participating in this? So at that time, they got very cuffy. It was during one of their appropriations meetings, and they tabled it. They didn't even vote on it. And then at the very end of the legislative session said, we're not doing anything. We're not going forward. At the very end of the session, legislative session, you know, these things are in July or August, whatever, at the very last minute.
Sure.
They voted it through. They say, this is protecting the farmers here because then the farmers importing the eggs or exporting migration to California won't have a advantage. However, all of this is a racket. So now they expanded the territory for HSUS to, like, to at least 2 to 3 times because they only produce a third of the shelled eggs that we eat here. So it was a massive expansion for them under Jared Huffman, and then the North Coast decided to vote him to Congress.
Unbelievable. I think it's going to hit home when people go to the grocery stores, and first they'll find that there aren't any eggs, or they'll find that the price has doubled, and then they're going to wonder why.
Well, there was a lot of discussion in the articles that you sent. I would really encourage people, go to the webpage and look at, I actually put snippets of the articles, but then at the bottom I also listed links from all the stuff you sent us. And in going through those articles, there was a big fight nationwide with the pork producers. They feel like it's coming for them next, which I'm sure that they're
going to come for all of them.
So they were encouraging the egg guys outside of California to boycott California. You know, let the guys in California, you know, fall under the California regulations, sell to them, but don't import, don't meet the standard and import to California because they're going to mow us down next. But the egg producers are realizing that, I mean, they're in business and this is going to be profitable. Shortages are profit. So what have you heard beyond that? I mean, in the last, you know, as you guys watched this thing come through in 2008, you know, what's been the scuttlebutt? Because this is all just happening in the last month or so.
Do you think out-of-state producers are going to comply, you know, spend the money and comply to capitalize on the upcoming shortage?
Well, guess what? Guess who can comply? Only the biggest. The biggest producers can comply. That is going to eliminate the market for all the little guys. And that's what happened in Europe. When they did this in Europe just a few years ago, they put out of business lots of egg producers. In fact, they were so mad, the egg producers, they were, like, taking their eggs and smashing them in the streets in protest. And their protest, it was like egg smashing, which is interesting. But that who's going to be hurt most is the little farmer who is the backbone of America. The history of America, the formation of America, Washington, Jefferson, they were all farmers. Farmers are what made America great. And we're destroying the small farmers. And this initiative, the way that it's working out, is helping the biggest of the producers. They can take this hint. They can go buy more property or move to another state, et cetera. In fact, it's actually going to make energy costs go up. We're supposed to be reducing America's energy reliance. You have to keep chickens at a certain temperature. Very big changes in temperature can kill chickens, and they won't lay, and et cetera, et cetera. They'll get sick. So you have to keep these hen houses very nice and cozy warm. So if they have to expand that double, so let's say you have a million square feet for your chickens. Then you have to, because there's a square foot per chicken, let's say. So then you have to go to 2 million square feet. Well, you have to heat that other million square foot. So what will you do? Most likely you can't afford to do that, or your fuel costs go up, or you move to a southern state where your fuel costs will be reduced.
Well, you'll raise it.
It has huge implications, but only the big corporations are making out on this one, I assure you. The little farmer is going to be screwed just like in Europe.
Well, anytime these regulations impact the producer, those costs are always passed down to the consumer. So if they want to, you know, play, they'll raise their price and move on. But the one that's getting hurt is the consumer, ultimately.
But the small farmers will be hurt, too, because they can't even afford to
meet
it.
Sure.
You see, so it'll be the consumer and the small farmer who will be impacted the most.
So it's the same?
And it's the poor. All the rich people in the legislature, all those guys that you voted in, they're not worried about how much their eggs cost. In fact, if you ask them, they probably couldn't tell you what a dozen eggs are.
Well, isn't
you know, when was the last time they bought any eggs in that supermarket?
Aren't eggs the largest source of protein in our food stream right now?
No, they always have been. In fact, Title 18, which is all about racketeering, says, our federal laws say that you cannot regulate eggs and chickens. That's how important they are, because they put that in place, I believe it was World War II or World War I, because there were racketeers popping up during the war trying to, that were selling the eggs to the military, because our army marches on, guess what, eggs. They really do. The first thing our troops do are wake up in the morning and eat a whole bunch of eggs. I don't care where you are, Navy, Marines, Army, Air Force. So they were racketeering and trying to sort of rip off the military. So the Congress, way back when, put into Title 18 that that's racketeering. You cannot make any laws regulating or controlling the price or production of eggs or meat.
Hold that thought. We're coming right back in after the news here with Diane. We weren't paying attention to the time. You're listening to We the People Radio.